This morning, we're going to be talking about defining honor. Defining honor. If you'll turn your Bibles over to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, we're going to read a scripture that is oftentimes misunderstood by those who read it. Atheists and others take advantage of this scripture because it doesn't make all that much sense when we read it at face value. We read, he went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, go up, you baldy head. Go up, you bald head. And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. So it makes sense as to why I got bear on the front cover. Now, people will look at this scripture and go, but they were just kids. And they were teasing Elisha, and he turned around, how mean-spirited. Turned around and had them little boys killed. That just ain't right. There ain't no God of love. Well, let's understand what was being said here. Elijah, earlier in chapter 2, had just gone up. The phraseology, go up, could also, from what they were saying, could have meant, why don't you do the same? We want you to die. Go up, leave, be gone. Baldhead was a Hebrew term that wasn't only used for people who were follically challenged. It was also used for those who could have even had great big bushy hair. The terminology baldhead was used for lepers who would shave their heads, so people would know that they were different and that they were set apart. For these small boys to go up and say, go up, you bald head, it was pretty much them saying, get sick and die. So we consider what they're saying, and we often visualize when it comes to green flannel boards. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So we look at our green flannel boards, and we'll have Moses in the Exodus. And Moses will be standing there, and we'll have a line of what looks like Swedish people, very, very white, pasty, walking across the sea that has been spread in single file line, because that's orderly to do. You know, the flannel board gives a little misconception. They weren't pasty white people. They weren't white people at all. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin was, but if we're going to try to replicate something, let's at least try to be accurate when it comes to skin color. And when it comes to them walking across, it wasn't single file line. There were estimated numbers of 2 million people that went through that sea. So if we're going to say that it was only a few people, that denies power to God, who made a great nation as promised under those 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So we consider looking at this scripture, and we can do the same. I think of the flannel board. You got a couple little kids going, go up, baldy head, and mean, stocky, little bald-headed guy. Argh. And they send out the bears, and the bear comes up and claws them up, and then it's like, ha, 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 they said bald head, ha, ha, ha. When we consider what's being done here, 42 of the boys were killed. It wasn't 3 or 4. It wasn't like Cade and Michael walking behind me in the hall, go up, baldy head, ha, 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 you're chubby, ha, ha, ha. It was 42 that were giving threats of, we want you to die. Now, if I see a large group of people that are angry with pitchforks, per se, if we're going to use modern time, or blasting off shotguns, and they tell me that I'm going to die, they want me to die because I'm a Christian, who's going to get scared? Who's going to get scared if that was happening to you? 42 angry, let's say teenage boys, yelling they want you to die and they hope you get sick. How many of us would be like, oh, there's no harm in that? What happens with teenage boys and young men? It can escalate pretty quickly. It can escalate pretty quickly. All it takes is one to take that extra step and punch or to hit or something along those lines. So we see, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. Those young men weren't showing honor. at the time period, you were to show your supposed to show people older than you honor. He was a prophet of God. He should have been shown honor. God loves people who show honor. What we see right here was not honorable, and God squelched it out. It should be a lesson to us today. If we want to be pleasing to God, we have to show honor. Now, JJ, who do we show honor to? First, let's look at our bosses. You know, it's often a dirty word. Our bosses. Oh, yeah, boss is the old slave driver. Joanna never said that. So we've got bosses that we need to have honor for. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let all who are under a yoke of bond servants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. You know, we as Christians aren't to be of the world, but we do live in the world. We have to make a living, and we go out to workplaces. We need to be good examples. We need to be good examples in our work ethic. We need to be good examples in our positivity. Because when we do that, we will be set apart. You may be the only person of Christ that your boss or co-workers see. How terrible would it be? As pertaining to verse 1, they find out you're a Christian and see your actions. If we're going to, do as we should, we need to honor our bosses by doing as they ask. Now, if they say curse God, you don't have to do that. But if they tell you they want you to bring stack A over to stack B, do it. Don't argue. Do it. Be respectful. Be honorable, so that the name of the Lord will not be reviled. Give respect as a proper reflection of the teachings of God. As long as they are not asking you to do something against God, be the best worker that you can be. When you give honor to your bosses, you're being that positive reflection. We need to give honor to the leaders of the congregation. Honors to the leaders of the congregation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. What's being talked about is the elders. When we consider what the respect that is being given to elders, they deserve the honor that we should be giving them, as the Bible lays out. There are some times where, being a young person, we don't understand why a decision is made. But if our elders get up and say, we don't think it's a good idea for you to go to prom, we don't think it's a good idea for you to go mixed bathing, we don't think that it's a good idea for you to do this, this, or this, don't do those things. If we're going to give honor to the elders as we should, and they look over our souls, they're shepherding the flock, and our elders smell like sheep, not literally, but if our elders say, I don't think this is good for your soul, let's honor their wisdom. Let's honor their wisdom. If they say they don't think something's a good idea, we shouldn't do it. But if they do say something is good for your soul, we should adhere to it because of the wisdom they have and the position that they're in. We look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. This is a positive example. We see that we're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to give honor where honor is due. This is a positive example for us doing as we should, as Paul charged to the Corinthian church. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we can get to the root of why we need to be obedient to our elders. Remember your leaders, Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And you know, we look in society and you always want to move up the ladder. People want to be the CEO. People want to be the president. People want all of these different things. The church is not made up that way. We shouldn't view it as, you know, I'm going to act right so I can be an elder. We look at the job and the work of an elder, it's very serious. What they're taking on is on the day of judgment, they'll stand before God, and God is going to ask them how they shepherded their flock. When we consider the honor that is due to them, they aren't getting paid for this. They are doing this because they love the Lord, they love the Lord's church, and they love each and every one of you. When there are things that we need to correct, if there are things they rebuke us on, it should be, our response should be, thank you, and I'll work on it because my soul will be in better condition. We consider the honor that we should give to our elders, the honor we should give to our deacons. The wisdom that they have can be very beneficial, especially to those of us who are younger. So while we may not understand, when I was a teenager, if somebody had told me, you don't need to go to prom, what are you talking about? Ah, that's fine, nothing's going to happen, I'm not going to go out and do anything wrong. Well, there are connotations that go with that. There's shame, there's ignominy that comes upon that. If the elders say, we don't think there's a place you need to go, even if you don't understand, trust that wisdom. If you say, I don't understand, and you want to have a Bible study, I assure you they'll want to do that. Let us trust our elders and honor their judgment. We need to honor our families. Honor our families. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Feminist heads blow up at this. They don't like to think that there are gender differences, and there truly are. There are benefits to both genders, and in working together, great things can happen. You know, men, we need to step up. We need to be ready to protect our families, protect our children, and protect those who are around us from danger, be it physical or spiritual. I like this picture. You got the knight that's right there, and going ahead and giving the sword over to the princess so that she can slay the dragon. We don't often hear stories like that. But men, we need to stand up and be men. We're raising a society of sissies. We need to be men who are ready to stand up, men who are ready to be strong, men who are ready to defend our wives, our family, our children, ready to defend our brethren. We need to be men who are honorable. To give honor, if people are going to give honor, we need to be honorable. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Want to see a miserable husband? Some of that could be because the wife isn't giving him the honor that he deserves. You want to emasculate him, quote unquote, wear the pants, not let him be the head of the house, ridicule his every decision? You're not letting him be a man. Respect him, build him up. And this isn't easy because men are pretty dumb sometimes. And even Paul knew this. Paul wrote this to Ephesians. And then we look over to Titus chapters 2, verses 4 and 5. He's talking to the older women, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Older women need to teach the younger women how to treat their husbands. Because women, Guys can be rough, can't they? If Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, had to say, women, older women, teach the younger women how to love and respect their husbands, it's something that should be done. If you're an older woman and you haven't worked with a younger woman, you need to get after it. It's part of your responsibility as a Christian. Same goes for the older men. Teach the younger men. That goes all into a whole other lesson. But we need to give honor to our husbands, honor to our wives. We need to give honor to our children. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I did a lesson at Green Valley Bible Camp, I guess it was 2-3 weeks ago, and my sermon was how to get out of your teenage years alive. And this is one of the passages that we used. Kids, honor your parents. Honor your parents. You know, we have children that obey the gospel, and their parents aren't faithful. You could be the example that leads them to Christ. If your parents are weak in the faith, your example could lead them to Christ. Is it fun being bossed around? Not especially. Not especially. But if we're going to serve God as we should, we need to honor our parents. God was serious about this. It was a punishment worthy of death, because when you don't respect your parents growing up, you have trouble giving honor to authority. And young people that don't respect authority grow up to make society a very difficult place to live in. And let there be shame if it's those people who bear the name of Christ yet don't respect and honor authority. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. My daughter may not believe this, but we don't enjoy giving her spankings. It's not that much fun. Well, not fun at all. I don't need to say that much fun. It's not fun at all. I'm not going to give you a spanking. It's okay. But she sasses her mama, she's going to get a spanking. She does something along those lines, she's going to get a spanking and get a talking to about why we don't talk to mama that way. We train up our children and discipline them when they're young so that as they grow older, they're in a position to succeed in eternity and not have to be disciplined by God the Father separate from Him for eternity. When we discipline our children, we show how much we love them. We give honor to God when we show discipline to help and aid their souls. Give honor to the elderly. Give honor to the elderly. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You know, we live in a society now, and even in the first century, that would come up with excuses to not take care of the elderly. The money I was going to take care of you with is Corbin. It's going to be given to God. So best wishes, Mom and Dad. That wasn't pleasing, as Christ had pointed out. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Was sitting at the sitting in the living room the other day, and Adeline looked up to Lisa and said, Mama, how come you're starting to get gray hair? And Lisa said, well, every time you make me cry or disappoint me, I grow gray hair. And Addie thought for a minute and said, wow, you must have been terrible to Grandma. That didn't happen, really. It's a joke I modified to fit the family. We consider the benefit of being able to be older. Sometimes people die young, either by their own stupidity or someone else's stupidity, or It just happens. Gray hair is a benefit and a sign of wisdom, as the Bible says. Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 5, and the people will oppress one another, everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder and the despised to the honorable. Isaiah the prophet knew, you don't give honor to older people, there is a bigger issue at hand. There is a bigger issue at hand in the failures of the people of Isaiah's time. They weren't listening to the older with the advice that they could have gleaned from. We see this also over from the pen of Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 12. Princes are hung up by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. You know, we have a responsibility to notice our elders, our elderly. As a child, we can look at our kids running around. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, what I need. You ever see kids in line at the toy store? I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I mean, we can even see kids running around here. They're sprinting around and making people trip all over them. It's not, they're not doing it on purpose to be mean. They're just thinking about themselves. That's what kids do. As teenagers, it's all about friends. You know, and there are times where parents will have to deal with the brunt from teenagers because teenagers want to defend their friends over honoring their parents. You know, we get into our 20s and older, our focus is our future. Our focus is our family. And this leaves our older Christians being ignored. What truly can be sad is that our family may be the only family that some of our elderly members have. Brothers or sisters have passed away. Parents are gone. Kids don't visit. We have a responsibility to honor our older members. You know, how can we notice them? How can we show them honor? When we consider honoring our older members, we can send them cards. We can ask them about their lives. We can ask them, you can tell them about your lives. People are interested, and older people are interested in the lives of younger people. You know, let them teach you something. I don't know how to make a quilt to save my life. My aunt made me a quilt. One side was blue jeans and the other side was bandana. And it was the best quilt I ever had. And I used it for about 10 years and just destroyed it. It's not holding together. I would love to be able to learn that. You think I'm going to be able to figure it out how to do it on my own? Think Lisa's going to let me have scissors? I don't think so. I want to learn how to do quilting. I want to learn how to do some of these other things. You know, we live in a society now where some of our young women can't even boil water. I mean, figure out how to use a microwave. You know, we need our older women to be able to share some of that knowledge of cooking and such. And the list could go on and on. You know, we can teach our older members something. You know, smartphones are... all kinds of people are getting smartphones today, aren't they? And they can be difficult if you've never owned one. Younger people that are familiar with them, try to teach an older person something about their phone. You know, we have youth devos. Invite older people to the devos. Let them know that we care about them. We want them involved. We want them included. The last thing we need is to have a Christian who feels excluded, who feels forgotten, who's not getting the attention they need and the honor that they deserve. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let's make sure that we're all taken care of. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We need to give honor to our earthly fathers and to those who care for our souls. the conclusion of the lesson. And I thought this was interesting. Look at this picture. Who did you notice more? I noticed a little birdie by itself. We as Christians are called to be separate and different from society. We need to be a people that are ready to show honor. You know, if I were to say, Simon says, pat your head, we'd have people ready to do this, patting their head, because Simon says, got a Laura doing it right now, Simon says, stop. You know, but God says, be a good example and honor people, and we memorize a verse. We need to live the Word, not just read it. Simon's not real where God is. If God says we must honor, if God says we must show respect, don't just memorize what the Bible said. Make that part of your life. This morning, we must honor our bosses as we're a reflection of God. Honor our church leaders because they have our soul's best interest in mind. Honor our families because we should want everyone to go to heaven. And we need to honor the elderly. We need to reach out to make sure that they are well taken care of, both physically and spiritually. This morning, if you are not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. If you have heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, to walk in a newness of life, to have your sins washed away, please do that before it's everlastingly too late. But if you're a Christian and you haven't shown the honor that you should to your spouse, to your children, to your elders, or if you need the prayers of the congregation to help you with any other issue, if you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.